Here are the directions for part two. In this part, you will hear five passages, A through E. Each passage will be followed by two questions, number 11 through number 20. For each question, you will have 10 seconds to choose the best answer and mark your answer on your answer sheet. The passage and the questions will be given only once. Now, let's begin.
A. The Turpinhami Basin and the Great Dying. Approximately 250 million years ago, an event known as the Great Dying wiped out up to 90% of life in the oceans. The commonly accepted theory for its cause says that massive volcanoes in Siberia erupted, raising global temperatures and causing severe acidification in the oceans. While there is abundant evidence regarding the extent of the devastation in the seas, there is far less certainty regarding the situation on land. Although many researchers theorize that extinctions of plants and animals on land were just as catastrophic as in the ocean, others argue that the extent of the destruction varied by location. Recently, the discovery of a fossilized plant community in the Turpinhami Basin in China has lent support to the latter interpretation. Preserved plant remains indicate that the area may have been a refuge during the Great Dying due to its climate. Despite its proximity to the volcanoes, there is an uninterrupted record of evolution of the region's plant community stretching from well before the event until long after it ended. Extinction rates were likely only around 20%, and the region's diversity appears to have returned to normal more than 10 times faster than in other localities.
Questions. Number 11. What is one aspect of the Great Dying that some scientists disagree about? Number 12. How did the Turpinhami Basin differ from other parts of the Earth? B. Crop insurance and the environment. Many American farmers rely on insurance to provide financial compensation in the event of crop failures. However, according to critics, crop insurance encourages environmentally unfriendly farming practices. For instance, what are known as cover crops can be grown along with the main crop in order to prevent soil from being eroded or add nutrients to it. However, crop insurance policies often become invalid if farmers do things that could reduce their yields. Even though cover crops have beneficial long-term effects, most insurance policies assume only a single crop variety will be grown. So cover crops can be seen as weeds that interfere with the main crop's growth. Agricultural losses have been growing in recent years, and critics of the current crop insurance system argue that it may be a contributing factor. The knowledge that farmers will be compensated in the event of crop failure could cause them to gamble by planting in regions that often experience floods. Furthermore, insurance policy rules sometimes require that land be irrigated. This encourages farmers to grow crops that rely on local water sources instead of those that could survive on rain alone. This strains water supplies, increasing the chances of crop failure.
Questions. Number 13. What is one thing that we learn about cover crops? Number 14. What do some critics say about crop insurance?
C. Falling water. The architect Frank Lloyd Wright believed in organic architecture, the idea that buildings should be connected to their natural surroundings. Falling Water, a home he designed in 1935 for the wealthy Kaufman family in the U.S., exemplifies this concept. Wright placed the house directly above a waterfall, with terraces that extend outward like the nearby rock ledges, and he designed the walls using stone from the site. The home's balance between practicality and aesthetics reflected the influence of the Kaufmans, who insisted on having more input than Wright's usual clients. Wright's use of natural colors and indirect lighting reinforced the organic aesthetic, while the Kaufmans' decisions on aspects like bathroom features and storage spaces increased the house's livability. Falling Water became an instant architectural landmark. However, Wright was known to prioritize his aesthetic vision over structural integrity in his designs. Falling Water's long, natural-looking terraces, for example, had not been supported with a sufficient amount of steel. By the late 20th century, the house was in danger of collapsing and required significant reinforcements. Today, the house is open to the public and stands as both a symbol of Wright's bold architectural vision and the importance of engineering in preserving complex structures.
Questions. Number 15. What does the speaker say about the Kaufman family? Number 16. According to the speaker, what is true about Falling Water's original design?
D. Paying off the national debt. In 1835, Andrew Jackson became the only U.S. president ever to eliminate the nation's debt. One major source of funds for paying it off came from selling federally owned lands in the American West. Westward expansion had created tremendous demand for farmland, causing the value of federally owned territory to skyrocket, and settlers and investors purchased millions of acres. High taxes in the form of tariffs added to the budget surplus, and with government spending kept low, the income from these land sales made it possible to pay back all remaining debt. Jackson now faced the question of what to do with the budget surplus. Eventually, he decided to transfer the extra money to state banks. However, this encouraged them to make more loans, which led to even more investment in land and created a real estate bubble. In response, Jackson issued a decree that investors could only purchase public land with gold or silver, bringing the land boom to a sudden end. Land values collapsed, and falling cotton prices worsened the economic situation. Many historians now believe that Jackson's poorly advised policies contributed significantly to a major economic depression.
Questions. Number 17. What was one reason that Andrew Jackson was able to eliminate the national debt? Number 18. What was one effect of eliminating the national debt?
E. Listening to blue whales. Whales produce powerful underwater calls to communicate with each other. However, a 6-year study beginning in 2015 in the Eastern Pacific Ocean showed that calls made by blue whales dropped by almost 40%. The researchers found this decline occurred during marine heat waves, when ocean temperatures rise significantly above normal. The warming disrupts the ocean's nutrient supply, causing populations of shrimp-like creatures called krill to collapse. While some whales have a varied diet, Blue whales rely almost entirely on krill. This means that during marine heat waves, blue whales put so much effort into looking for food that they have little energy left for producing calls. Blue whale populations around the world have been affected. In New Zealand, for example, researchers observed a similar decline in blue whale calls, including calls associated with mating. This raises concerns about the effect of marine heat waves on whale reproduction. Since the 1940s, the heat waves have become longer, and climate change is expected to further increase their intensity. Because blue whales travel and feed across vast areas, their behavior can provide an early warning of widespread ecosystem stress. Continued monitoring of their calls can guide conservation efforts to address changes across ocean environments.
Questions. Number 19. What makes blue whales especially vulnerable to the effects of marine heat waves? Number 20. What does the speaker suggest about the blue whales in the New Zealand study?